With Jordan Perez.
Welcome back. I'm back with another episode. It's a very stressful time for a lot of pro golf hopefuls between the LPGA and LET. My guest this week has just experienced her first 6 months as a pro golfer and knows all these feelings very well. Kenzie Wright, who finished up her 5-year college career at Bama and a pretty sweet amateur golf one for the books. Kenzie turned pro right after Nationals and won in her first pro start as a pro, but has experienced all the ebbs and flows of mini tour life and Q school. She reminisces on her career as an amateur and her time at Alabama, but we dive into the post-grad life and what that's meant between finances, emotions, everything. Kenzie also dishes her thoughts on the college to LPGA pipeline and what she hopes to see in the future. Kenzie and I recorded this episode just ahead of the SEC Championship in football and the Arizona Women's Open, so shout out to her on her top 10 at the Arizona Women's Open. Kenzie's got a bright future ahead of her and is one of the best voices out there in pro golf, so I won't hold you up anymore. Enjoy.
So I guess this is a really good question to start off with, to like dig a little bit, to circle back to your start in golf, because I really want the full story. Yeah. But I was reading that you played your first tournament 2 months after you started playing golf in a qualifier. Yes. One, what tournament was that? And two, your parents allegedly gave you a dog for qualifying?
Yes. So it was the U.S. Kids World Championship was like the big qualifier. And obviously I like just started, and so my parents thought there was like no way that I would ever qualify. So I think I started in like March and the qualifier was in May, I think. And my mom was like, yeah, if you qualify, then we'll get you a dog, because I really wanted a dog. And I was like 7. And so she's like, there's no way like this is ever gonna happen. And then I think I shot like 37. It was 9 holes. shot like 37, qualified, and then we got my dog Rocky. So it was a great start.
That is adorable. I mean, was that like, did that completely incentivize you from then on, or were you just really like that self-determined in the moment?
Yeah. Oh, totally. It was all about the dog. I made like a little like bag tag. Like we printed out pictures of dogs, and that was my inspiration and everything. So.
Oh my gosh. I mean, from that point on, I mean, like, what drove you? Was it like, dogs? I mean, what?
After that.
Yeah. After that. Where did you take off after that?
I just fell in love with golf. Yeah, I just fell in love with golf, and we lived on a golf course, so it was super easy just to like hop out and like what got me into it was I saw like a high school tournament walk by. I was like, oh, they're like actually kind of close to my age, and because I always just thought it's like my dad and all of his friends, and then I was like, oh, there's people actually my age playing, and so that's kind of what got me into it. And then my cousin played, and so a lot of my family played already, and then so I just got into it, and then after I got the dog, I somehow stayed motivated, but but yeah, I just love the game, and yeah, just fell in love with it. So
all right, we'll dip a little more into your origins later, but right now you're on a well-deserved break. But when you turn pro, you practically jumped into it right after Nationals. Yes. You won your first event as a pro like immediately. I mean, how are you able to kind of like get your mind right like so quickly, especially coming after like the college grind, especially because I think I was reading like on that week you made 15 birdies.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Like that.
Yeah, I think I was like my whole like senior act, well I guess not actual senior, but my fifth year at Alabama was so like I was not playing well at all. And I was just kind of, so I played really well my actual senior year, and then just with that, with COVID hit and everything, I was kind of like, okay, what do I do to get back to that? So I felt like the whole last year I was like just building up to like, okay, I feel like I'm so close, like I feel like I'm like about to have like that one tournament that is just really good. And then finally it came at my first professional tournament. But I think just getting done with school and everything, I was so ready to be done with school because I've been there for 5 years, which is a lot, but obviously love the golf part, but just being there for school for so long was a lot. But yeah, I felt like I was so close for so long. And then it finally just kind of all clicked that 1 week. And yeah, I think it was kind of weird because starting out, like winning your first tournament, I was like, oh, this is great. Like, let's just do this every week. And then you get there. And then I started playing the women's all pro tour events, like right after that. And so I kind of had my taste of like tour life, I guess. And yeah, it's like, it's so much more of a grind than than anyone ever can say. It's just so different and you're out on your own. And it's like the first tournament was great because I won. And then it's like the next week, it's like, oh, no one cares. You know, it's like, you're just there on your own and you're just trying to make money like everyone else. So it's, you know, you kind of have your like 5 minutes of glory. And then you're just like, okay, well, I got to go try to win again next week. So so it's very different from college where you have like a whole team around you that's and coaches that are supporting you. And that was amazing in Alabama. And then you get out on your own and you're just like, oh, well, my parents are proud of me. Like, that's great. And then the next week, no one really cares. So, so yeah.
I mean, what about some other major lessons that you learned from spending that summer on the Women's All Pro Tour? Because you're right, like it's a taste of tour life. You have to mm-hmm. learn to manage your own expectations, set your own goals. It's different from playing on a team. But I mean, yeah. What were some other big lessons that you learned?
Yeah, luckily I got to spend a lot of time with Olivia Mahaffey. She had just gotten done at Arizona State too, so we were kind of in the same boat. And she had already had like her sponsors lined up and like she had an agent and all this stuff. And so she was kind of the one helping me through everything. She was like, she actually stayed with us for a couple of tournaments and she came here like right after I won the tournament and she was like, well, do you have this? Do you have this? And I was like, no. She's like, okay, girl, we gotta get you set up. So she was kind of the one that helped me like just figuring everything out and getting started. And because I mean, I like I said, I was playing so bad kind of my whole senior year that I was like, okay, like I'm just gonna figure it out and hope everything kind of works out. And it did, but I was a little late to the whole like turning pro party. So so she really helped me out a lot with that. And it was nice to have someone on the road with, because it's so like everyone always says how lonely it is, and I can totally see how that could be true. Because luckily I was lucky enough to be close to home, like on the WPT, but even then, I mean, it's a grind and you're gone every week and you're trying to make money. And, so yeah, I could definitely see how everyone says it's super lonely. So we'll see. Well, I guess we'll see how Symetra goes next year. So
we'll dig into that a little bit too later, but yeah. You essentially had to head back to your home state of Texas to win that event, but, you had to leave a little bit in order to get to where you are now. As I understand, you grew up pretty close to SMU and you committed as early as your freshman year of high school, but you ended up leaving for Alabama. What was kind of the expectation versus reality that played out at like SMU and ultimately led you to Bama?
Yeah, I think I definitely like fell into the trap of committing too early. I mean, it was way too early. Like looking back, you know, I think I was just so excited to get an offer and I was like, oh, this is exciting. And then I was like that fear of like, oh, well, I might not get anything else. And then now looking back, I was like, that was so dumb. but it was great. I mean, my freshman year was great. The team was great. And we had so much fun and, you know, things changed. And I, you know, I decided that I needed to go a little further away from home and Alabama just happened to work out perfectly. And yeah, I mean, it was crazy going in because they were, I can't remember if they were number one whenever I transferred, but we won our first two events and Kristen Gilman and Lauren Stevenson were on the team and it was awesome. And it was, you know, different than anything I'd ever experienced. And like getting to learn from them was amazing. And now, you know, they're both on LPGA, which is really cool, but yeah, I think just, you know, just having that experience, like I wouldn't trade it for anything. Cause you know, obviously I learned a lot from it and now I'm, you know, I'm glad to have had both experiences. So yeah.
Had Bama had always been on your radar? I mean, were you nervous at all transferring to the SEC given like SEC women's golf is like, I think the best of the best, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I went in not even knowing if I was going to be able to play a tournament. Like, I was so just excited. And I was like, okay, I don't even care if I play because I know I'm going to be around like just the best people in college golf. And so that, you know, obviously I was just like, okay, I mean, you know, I went in with, I think, like a 77 scoring average. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go have fun and see what happens. And, but yeah, so that, you know, that expectation of them being literally the best team in college golf was like a big jump. but yeah, Alabama had always been, you know, something that I personally was like, okay, that's so far, like kind of out of my reach. Like, that's what I always thought in high school. Like, it's, they're so good. And I just never really imagined myself going there because I always just thought that they were like too good for me. and then I found myself in a situation where I had the opportunity to go and I was like, okay, I would be so dumb not to take it. So, and I'm so glad I did because I've learned so much from Mick and Susan and just my teammates and just the school itself is so cool. So it's, yeah, it was crazy, but I definitely wouldn't have thought that I would ever end up at Alabama. So
it was a major confidence booster.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Speaking to the experience, I know for golf, it was extremely fulfilling, but you went to the pinnacle of all football schools. Yes. I personally can speak for the experience at Florida, but yes. For those who aren't as familiar, please describe an average game day in Tuscaloosa and what your most memorable one was.
Okay, I'll have to think about the most memorable, but I mean, it's unreal. Like, I mean, I went to SMU when they weren't good at all, and there was always more like opposing team fans than there were SMU fans. So it was kind of a crazy jump. But yeah, I mean, we, you know, I think once a year we'd have recruits where we'd do like the whole tent and everything, and we'd have the tailgate and set up, and which was really fun. And then otherwise, you know, if it was just us, we'd try to find, you know, like friends that had tailgates going on or something and try to have the whole experience. But game days are insane in Tuscaloosa. Like, I always said, I'm never going in, like, any, I'm not leaving my apartment ever to try to go anywhere because it's just insane trying to get around. and like, I think one time whenever I first got to Alabama, I was like, oh, I think we're leaving for a trip maybe the next day or something. I was like, oh, I'll go get my hair done like so I can look cute. And then it took me like an hour for a 5-minute drive, and I was like, okay, I'm never doing this again. It was crazy. so yeah, it's unreal, and it's just so much fun. And yeah, I mean, it we'd always sit together like as a team, and it's just, yeah, we always had so much fun. So
was that your biggest culture shock?
Definitely. And I just remembered my story too, my most memorable. So my teammates and I, we went, college game day was there for the LSU game, I guess 2 years ago already. And we went at 3 o'clock in the morning to try to line up, and it was like 30 degrees, and it was the biggest mistake of our lives, but it was it was so much fun. So yeah, that had to have been the most memorable because the game wasn't until like I guess it was a 3 o'clock game, but it felt like it started at 10 because we had been up all day long. But but yeah, that definitely had to be the most memorable just because of how delusional we were by the time the game started. So
I mean, like, I don't know, I'm very weak. Anything that involves like waiting out in the cold is like an automatic no for me. But like, I mean, versus like even just playing golf in the cold, you know, you're moving. So there's like, your body's warming up. Just like standing in the frigid cold is so hard.
Yeah, it was awful. That's what we said. We were like, we're so glad we did it, but we're never going to do it again. So
I mean, it's college game day. Like, that's like a once in a lifetime.
Our sign did get on at least. So
what was the sign?
I think it was like 2 games after, I think like Joe Burrow's pants got pulled down or something. So we said like LSU's IQ is as low as Joe Burrow's pants or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but yeah. And then of course we had to make like a cute one, like Alabama golf, like say hi.
Who came up with that?
I think my teammate Caroline did. She
just had this like team devoted day to just building the poster. You were like, oh, going absolutely. On
Yeah. We were literally like on the ground at our facility, just trying to find, come up with anything to get on TV. So.
And you did. That's hilarious.
Yeah, we did.
All right. Let's reflect a little bit more on your experience while you were at Alabama. Mm-hmm. Some things that you had to do a little waiting for, including Augusta and the Arnold Palmer Cup. But first, yes. Augusta. I mean, how many divots did you intentionally make just to take some grass home with you? Like, how hard was that wait? I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was crazy. I think it was just so, like, my whole actual senior year, I guess, like, the first semester, that was my entire goal, was just make it to Augusta. And so it felt even longer, because it's like I felt like I had waited so much already just to try to get there, and then to have it, you know, postponed, obviously, was kind of, you know, tough. But yeah, I think I saw something on Twitter where this guy saved divots from, like, all the courses that he'd been to, and I didn't see it until, like, a couple months ago. I was like, I wish I remember I thought of that before Augusta, because we definitely would have been doing that. But yeah, I took home so many tees. I was like, I'm gonna try to keep as much as I could. My favorite story, or like one of the funniest things that happened when we were there, was we had the, like, players dinner right before, I think it was the first round. And it was in the Augusta clubhouse, and just, like, all the girls were freaking out. And they had this butter that was, like, shaped like the Augusta logo. And all of us at the table were like, this is so cool. Like, the butter is shaped like Augusta. Like, this is so cool. And and then there were, like, so we went to the bathroom, because we're like, oh, because you can use your phone, like, at all in the clubhouse. And one of the girls was, like, had her phone. We're like, we got to see if we have, like, the geo tag on Snapchat so we can take pictures and, like, prove we were here. And then this other girl was like, did y'all see the butter? Like, she totally wasn't at our table either. We're like, this is hilarious that we're at Augusta National and the biggest, like, thing everyone talking about is the butter at the table. But yeah, being there was just insane. And it was so awesome. I can't even, like, say how cool it was, because it was just amazing. So it was definitely worth the wait. So
but before I get to the question everybody probably wants to know, which is your favorite hole, I mean, were these butter, was this just like a massive mound of butter, or was it just like mini Augusta butters?
No, it was just like individual, yeah, it was like just the individual little, like, circles of butter, but it had, like, the Augusta logo printed on it. So it was just like, I don't know, it was just cool. And it was, yeah, it was like the whole talk of the of the dinner, apparently. So
favorite hole.
Okay, I mean it has to be like, I guess 12, but I started on 10 because I missed the cut, but I started on 10, and it was like one of those that I think that had to be my favorite hole, just because it was like the first time I really realized, like, where I was. Because I mean, Champions Retreat was amazing, but you don't really realize you're in Augusta until, like, you're at Augusta. And, like, just standing on the tee box, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. So, like, for me, it's the most memorable, just because I remember, like, being so nervous on the tee. I was like, this means absolutely nothing. Like, I'm not playing tomorrow, but I'm still so nervous because it's a Augusta. Like, you want to play good. So, but yeah, I think 10 was just memorable because it's the first hole, and that's when it just kind of clicked that I was playing Augusta. So it's kind of hard to beat.
I can't imagine. I mean, like, that just had to have been purely chills. Like, I think that's, like, what everybody says when they, at least anybody that I've talked to that has played Augusta National Women's Amateur, they're just like, oh my gosh, it just hits you.
Yeah, definitely. It's unreal. So
I have a question from my good friend at College Golf Book. He would like to know about your experience at the Arnold Palmer Cup and what your ideal mixed format event would look like.
Okay. Well, I'll have to think about the second question, but it was so much fun. I, you know, playing at Bay Hill was really, really cool, because it's, you know, it's Arnie's place. Like, I feel like it made it extra special, since, you know, it is the Palmer Cup, and it just felt like like it was his, you know, it just felt extra special. But it was so much fun. And any team event is just so cool, because, I mean, that's what we were talking about mostly the whole week, was that we'd never get to play with the guys, and it's just insane to watch them play. Like, they were so freaking good. And like, just, we played practice rounds together, and like, just every time, like, they'd be like, oh, y'all short game is so good, and we're like, but y'all hit the ball so good. Like, with just the whole week, we're just talking about like how good like everyone was. But yeah, it was just, it's so much fun. And you know, the only, like, the closest thing I had to that was I played on the Wyndham Cup, like, back in junior golf. And but I don't know, something about like Palmer Cup, it's just extra special, and it was really fun. So, but if I like made up a mixed team event, or like, what's my favorite already?
If you made up your own.
Okay. I'd have to, I don't know. I mean, I like alternate shot because we get to hit from a lot further up than we normally would. but at least for me, I don't hit it super far. So but whenever we played alternate shot, like, oh, this is what it's like to only have 100 yards in. But I don't know. I'm trying to think, because I guess, I don't know. I guess I have to stick with alternate shot because it's just super fun. But I'm trying to think if I made up my own, what it would be. But I'm gonna stick with alternate shot, and I'll keep thinking about it. If I think of something else, I'll let you know. So
that would be my preference personally. So good choice. I just feel like, I honestly feel like it's a little more tense. I like that.
Yeah,
I like the tension.
Yeah. Yes.
I know for amateurgolf.com, you spent some time there. You wrote a little piece on LPGA University, which I thought was so cool. Something that I'm always thinking about. But I'd love your thoughts, like, a little more on the system of qualifying in women's golf. You recently went through Q school, so you've had that experience firsthand now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, firstly, I mean, what are your thoughts on Q school in general, just being so fresh out of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, going through it already, like, being away from college golf, because I feel like the whole controversy like 2 years ago was like that Q school was taking away like the best players, and I could totally see that, because, you know, there were so many girls that turned pro like right after Q school and left, you know, in the middle of the season. And so, you know, being in college golf at the time, I was like, well, I don't think I could ever leave, you know. But now it's like, okay, looking back, and now I'm in the position where I went through Q school, and it's kind of like do or die, like, especially stage one, like, it was so stressful. Like, you could just feel the tension on the last day, because it's like, this is like, literally, am I going to have a job next year or not? And, you know, like, the girls that are going, that are still in college and going through Q school, I was like, I'm jealous of y'all, because you have something to fall back on. Like, you have this whole year of college golf to still be able to finish. And I was like, that must be like so nice, because, you know, there's so many girls that, you know, either this is their first year like me, where, you know, you're going through Q school the first time, or those girls that have already played on tour a little bit, and then they're having to go back to stage one. And then it's, you know, it's literally just, you're playing for if you're going to be able to make money for a whole year or not. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just a whole different type of pressure that I've ever experienced. And my goal is to never have to go back to stage one again, because it was so stressful. And then you get to stage two, and you're like, you can kind of breathe a little bit, because you're like, okay, at least I know I have some sort of status, like, I have something. But obviously you're still fighting for that same, you know, the same thing that everyone else is, and you're trying to get to the LPGA. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I think it's also fair, because, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know any other way to do Q school, but as I wrote about, you know, earlier in the year, I do think that there could be a better way to kind of do like what the guys are doing with their PGA Tour U. And I think it'd be really nice for the girls to have that too, because I think there's so many good girls in college that just, you know, they're either going to Q school now, or they're waiting their time. But I think that they kind of deserve their chance to get their freeway into, or not freeway, but you know what I mean? Like their way to work their way in throughout the year, as well as the guys are having. So I think it'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of builds some sort of meritocracy, because you're accomplishing all these things in college or your amateur summers, and then you're back to essentially the same drawing board as everybody else. And then, you know, and I think especially like on the fan side or viewer side, like that even makes exposure even harder, because then they don't know necessarily like who to root for and stuff,
exactly.
Especially like those who aren't as into women's golf or maybe who are trying to get into it, like they look at maybe the LPGA solely, and it's like, you've either got a mix of people who like didn't go to school or did, and they're like on the come up, and it's almost harder to explain like women's golf at times than it can be men's, and that that sucks in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like if girls were given that platform to kind of be able to raise awareness for like their brand earlier on, I think it would help so much. Cause I mean, like guys, I feel like you already kind of know like who you want to root for when they get on tour, and girls, we like, you just don't really have that. And there's, I mean, it's insane. Like how good so many girls are like that just, you know, that not kind of like just the public would know about, because they just don't really get the recognition that some of the guys do. But I think that is changing too, though. So hopefully it keeps moving in that direction. So
yes, let's keep moving the needle. I do want to ask another question in relation to that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like choosing between like one's athletic prime while sacrificing education has become like a harder decision now?
Yeah, I think so, because I think like, I don't know. I mean, because that was kind of the whole, you know, thing with like whenever like Kristen and Lauren left school, and it's like, it's really hard to blame them when they have LPGA status waiting for them. And, you know, if they stayed, they would have to be sacrificing all this money. And, you know, looking back, you know, of course, being on the team, it's like, oh, please stay because we're playing so well with y'all. But, you know, it's like, you also don't want to be selfish, because it's like they have the chance to make so much money and start the season fresh, like at the beginning, instead of just having to join in the middle. And then you don't know, golf is so weird that it's like, you don't know what's ever going to happen. And, you know, so it's like, now looking back, it's like, oh yeah, that's a no brainer. Like they should definitely go pro. So I think, you know, I think yes and no, but I also think that it just kind of depends on the person. And if you know that you're going to be consistent and be able to keep everything going, then play college golf and get better and be able to have the whole experience. But if you're good enough to go pro, then sure, go pro. So
yeah, I guess it's interesting when you compare golf to other sports where people really do have that freedom at any point. But I think, like you mentioned earlier, like you'll see people come through the pro pipeline, you'll be like, I've never heard of you, and this person was just casually balling out in some system or another, but that wasn't college golf. And you're like, okay, go off, I guess.
exactly.
I want to know, like, in regards to your amateur golf career, is there anything that maybe you'd wish you'd done differently, or any takeaways that you have in hindsight where you're like, maybe if I'd done this or did this, like, is there any way that you feel about it at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's always little things that I wish I did differently. Like, you know, it's that you kind of learn along the way. But I mean, really, I don't want to be like, no regrets, but I really, like, I don't really have any regrets with like what I did, because I feel like everything that kind of happened for a reason. You know, with I mean, obviously, you know, I'd love to have my actual senior year, like, be able to go back and finish that, because I was playing really well, and I had kind of so much lined up. Like, I literally had my whole schedule as my wallpaper on my phone of like the rest of 2020, and I was like so excited, and then everything gets canceled, and that's nothing I can control. But you know, that really sucked, because everything seemed to be going kind of like the way I wanted it to, and then it's like, oh nope, like everything gets canceled. And then but you know, I also think that everything happens for a reason, and for whatever reason I was supposed to go back to Alabama for another year, and it worked out great. So so yeah, I mean, there's nothing really that I would change, like, looking back, but yeah, so everything's been good. So
I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying no regrets either. Yeah, like, hey, that's like, everything works out for a reason. And I mean, like, it's sometimes it's like, yeah, like you could tweak a little things, your things could have gone a little bit differently. But yeah, I mean, it's refreshing when you can look back at an experience and be like, okay, like, I'm happy with how this turned out.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you something in regards to like your pro career. You recently opened a GoFundMe to help cover your expenses in professional golf, which a lot of people do when they turn pro, because it's obviously a very hefty set of expenses. And is honestly, like, I guess, like, from the outside is probably the toughest, if not, like one of the toughest parts about turning pro. If you're comfortable sharing, I mean, can you tell us just how much of an undertaking it's been for you and like your time playing professional golf?
Absolutely. Well, I think the biggest thing is Q School, because for stage one and two, it was like $5,000. And that's not include, that's just entry fee. Like that's not including flights or hotel and all that stuff. So it's, that itself is just crazy. And then, so I played in the WAPT the whole summer, and like each entry fee is like $550. And then you have to pay the membership fee, and then, which I think is another $500 or something like that. And then, I luckily was staying with Olivia like the first half of the season, so we got like an Airbnb to split a couple times, and so that helped out. And then just all the little things that just add up really quickly, like flights and rental car and then food once you get there. And then luckily my boyfriend caddies for me like pretty much every week, so I don't have to pay him a lot, but I wish he probably wishes I would, but you know, a lot of girls have caddies that they have to pay, and then you have to figure out, okay, well, a caddy helped me save a few strokes, so I can make more money to pay them, or do I just go on my own and hope that it works out? And you know, for some girls it works really well, but I get a little too emotional on the course for for me to just go by myself. But I've gone through it where I've gone without them or with them, and you know, I've figured out that it's better, like we work better as a team, so it's worth like the expense for me, because then I know that I'll probably, you know, play a little bit better and make a little bit more money. So it's just, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And you know, even just with winning, because I won the Texas Women's Open, and you know, even that, I mean, it's still like I'm running out of money really quick. So you know, it's you make money 1 week, and then you're like, okay, well, at least I have one tournament paid for. And yeah, it's a lot more than, you know, because that's why I think I said earlier, like people always say, like, how, I feel like the only things you hear are like how lonely it gets and then how much it costs, and both are definitely very true. So yeah, it's a lot, but it's also worth it, because when you do get that check, it's very rewarding. So
what's another positive to balance out the lonely and the expensive?
yeah I mean, well, it's so much, I mean, it really is so much fun. I mean, you get to meet so many cool people, and then once you start to get to know like a couple, then you get some friends, and then you look forward to the next week, and you're like, oh, I'm paired with her, like I'm so excited. And so yeah, like just getting the chance to meet a lot of people that are going through the same thing as you is really cool. And I just joined out at a course not too long, or a couple months ago, and there's a couple of girls out there that are kind of going through they were on Symetra, or you know, the WPT too, so we've kind of become friends and going through the same thing, and we're just like-minded. And so that's definitely like just really cool, is being able to have people around you that are doing the same thing as you. And so it just makes it less lonely. So
we've migrated from the team group chat to the pro group chat.
Yes, exactly.
So I want to know, what's your schedule like for the new year? You got some Symetra status from Q School, mm-hmm. but I mean, how does that kind of look like?
Yeah, so I'm actually leaving this Saturday. I'm going to play the Arizona Women's Open. And then after the new year, I'm playing the, I just saw it on Instagram and I had never heard of it before, but it's the Big Money Golf Classic. And it's actually becoming like a really big event. Like there's a lot of, like a couple LPGA girls that are signed up for it and stuff. So I'm going to play that, which will be really exciting. And then, as far as my Symetra status, I might miss like the first two events. I was looking back on, like the last couple of years and girls that had similar status. So I think I might miss like the first two events, and then I should be good to go after that. So I'll be playing Symetra. And then if I miss like the first couple, I'll probably play just a couple of the Women's All Pro Tour events just to get some starts, but I'm gonna try to make some money. So
is it kind of like a nice little weight off your shoulders knowing that you do have some status and like there is some certainty in your future?
100%. Yeah, after stage one, like I think I played really well like the third day at stage one, where I kind of had it, I was like, okay, I'm feeling pretty good about it. And after that, I was like, looking back, I was like, I am so glad I did that, because I would be so stressed out right now if I was trying to figure out what kind of status I'd have not making it through stage one. So yeah, it's a huge weight off my shoulders. So
lastly, for the weekend, Bama's obviously got a pretty big game coming up against yes. Georgia. but I guess in the sort of long term, can we get a little prediction for Bama's CFP run?
Oh, well, I'm really nervous about this game this weekend. I'm hoping they just are going to pull it off and be able to win, but I'm kind of scared to watch the game. I'm not going to lie, but I have high hopes. I mean, they're Alabama, so I feel like they're going to be able to pull it off, but I'm a little scared just based on how they've been playing this whole season. So we'll see.
Hopes are high. It's been a little turbulent. I mean, this yeah. past weekend, I feel like, can you really get any more nerved up than that?
Right? Literally. Yeah. If they lost this past weekend, I would have been like, okay, what's next year looking like? But no, I have newfound hope. So I'm just going to say that they're going to play really well and have good vibes going in. So
on the outside, I really enjoyed the OT rules in that moment, since like my team is just getting a random bowl game at this point. Yeah. But what are your thoughts on the overtime rules?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a lot better than the NFL. So I'm just glad that there's no like ties, because I think that's ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it makes it very exciting, a little more nerve-wracking, but I think it's good. So
thank you. I'm not a hater of the overtime rules either. It's a better product. Like yeah. everybody is going to tune into like a 2-point conversion fest, in my opinion. It yeah. also tells you who's been practicing it and who hasn't.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I think especially it makes it exciting. So
yeah, I think that one against like, I think Penn State had the one that went into like 9 yes. or something.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, it was crazy. I was hoping, I don't think I would have made it if Alabama went to 9. So I'm glad they stuck to, what's it, like 4? So.
All right. My final question, favorite holiday tradition.
Okay. Well, we always do Christmas Eve stuff, so I guess just my mom makes spaghetti, so I guess that has to be my favorite, because we just all get together as a family. I have a really small family, so we just all get together, have the spaghetti, open presents on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day is just like chill and enjoy the new things that you got. So so yeah, I think just being together and yeah, just enjoying the night. So that has to be my favorite. Ooh, and watching Christmas Vacation. So that's our favorite movie. So
personally, my family always watches Elf. That's our
That's
our chosen Christmas movie. But yeah, I love how everyone just kind of has like that one, right? That you have to watch through the year.
Yes, absolutely. We've already watched it like at least twice. So
you can pretend like you haven't at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. There's no better way to get in the spirit. I feel like last year it was a little harder to get in the spirit, but now I'm like a little more amped up, especially after the past weekend. I'm like, okay, I'm out here buying gifts. Like, I'm really in the mood now. Like, I'm so excited to give everybody these things.
I'm ready to go.
I'm feeling it this year.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me all things your amateur and your pro career. I'm so excited for you. It was really great to get just a look and your thoughts on everything. I mean, this is just such a major step in your life, and it's really excited to see what's ahead for not only you're playing next week, but for 2022.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It was really fun.
I also have to give you a special shout out, because you were the first player who followed my old podcast, Swings and Studies. Oh, really? Yeah. And that was when I was like first podcasting before I joined Fire Pit Collective. So special shout out to Kenzie for being the first player to follow Swings and Studies. That was really awesome. So thanks for the support.
Absolutely. I was a day one follower. So
yes. Kenzie can be, you can claim the day one.
Thank for you. Sure.
That Appreciate goes it. To you.
Thank you.
Thanks to Kenzie for joining me this week and offering a little bit of insight into her pre- and post-grad experience. I'll attach Kenzie's socials to the episode description. And peace. Thanks for joining us this week.